had some points here, and it was, first of all, the first point, speak peace, and it's on the script there. Number one, speak peace. And if you notice, and unto whosoever house you shall say, first say, peace be to this house. We are called, first of all, to be peacemakers and peace extenders. We are to reach people, but how do we reach people? The first place we begin is to extend peace to each and every person. Most people in this world are torn up. They're in struggle, and we are to extend God's peace to them. Second, we're to prioritize relationships. The way people are responding is by relationships. We are to build relationships that we might be able to witness to people. Number three, address brokenness. And we're on number three there, by the way. We need to address brokenness. That means bring healing. I don't know how many of you realize everyone that you come in contact with probably needs healing. There are very few people that don't need healing. Now, it might be mental healing, it might be emotional healing, it might be physical healing. But all of us, this past week, I needed healing. I don't know if you have had this experience. Most of you are not as old as I am, but I have a cramp in my calf, and as a young person, that just means you got a cramp in your calf. You know, I overdid it. Well, when you get older, you get other things that begin to run through your mind, and is this a blood clot? Is this something else going on? Because it wouldn't go away for 4 days. I had a cramp in my calf for 4 days. Let me tell you, that's a long time. But anyway, and it's pretty much gone now. But I did say, do I need to go see the doctor? You know, and my wife looked at me and she said, what's wrong? Now, my wife knows me well enough to look at me and say, there's something wrong with the dude. And she says, what's wrong? I do the same with her. I got up this morning. I said, what's wrong, Gail? She said, I didn't sleep all night. I said, oh. And she said, something I ate. But anyway, we can tell. The more we build relationships with people, the more we can tell they have a need and they need healing. And so we are to build relationships with people deliberately. This isolationism that we're in right now is killing the faith of most people. It's taking us out of our walk with Christ. God never intended for us to be isolated. This virus has isolated us. But I want you to understand this. We begin to see their need and their need for healing. It comes as you build a relationship. And the fourth is, and we should address that, pray for them. Number four, proclaim the kingdom. And that is share the message of Jesus. You notice that's the last of the four things. That's not the first thing. There are some that stand on the street corner, and that's cool. If they want to stand on the street corner, God has called them to do that. They need to do it. But the traditional witness that Jesus shared, that he said this is the way you do it, is you build relationships. And after you build relationships, then you address their needs. What are their needs? And then as you address their needs, then you can talk about the kingdom. Why? Because people are not going to listen to you in their face about the kingdom of God if you have not cared about them. So in the Christian ministry, this is very important to understand. But it leads us to the point that I want to make today. I wanted to reiterate those things from last week. I want to say this, though. Hear me, listen to this. There is the right motivation and the wrong motivation for doing things. And God wants us to have the right motivation for witnessing and reaching people for Jesus, which is what we're all called to do. And I can run and say, well, that's not really my calling. My friend, if you're a Christian, you're called to reach people for Jesus. That's what you do. It's not an option. It's not even, it doesn't have a thing to do with personality or background or education or anything. What is the motivation? Here's the motivation. It's said in the scriptures, and the very first thing we read, and the 72 returned with what? Joy. They returned with joy. All right. Now I want you to understand something. When they returned, they had joy in their hearts. Why? Because they had experienced God's love. One of the most exciting things for a Christian is to experience God's love. Can you remember the day you accepted Jesus Christ and you realized that God loved you and that he cared about you and that he wanted you a part of his kingdom and that he was forgiving you of all your sins? Can you remember that day? Can you? Okay. It was a joyous day. Joy floods your soul. There's a hymn. Let joy flood your soul. I believe that joy is the key element for motivating us to witness to people. And if I don't have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength, I don't have the joy of the Lord, I'm not going to witness. I'm not going to share. I'm not going to see the point in it. But when I have that joy, how many people, when they accept Jesus Christ, run out into the community and begin to tell people about it? Almost everybody I know of. You might be a little bit like, well, I don't know what to say to them, but I'm going to tell them what just happened to me. I had a young boy. He was a Catholic. His family was Catholic, and he came to me, and he said, we were having revival, a youth revival at our church. And we had several hundred teenagers there. And as a matter of fact, we had so many teenagers there in that church, we had them in the gymnasium behind us, in the back of the church. And anyway, it was a great, great week. And this young boy said he wanted to come and see what we were doing. So he came. He sat through the service. At the end of the service, I looked up, and here he comes down the aisle. And I'm going, oh, no, what am I going to do? Because he's Catholic, and his parents will have a meltdown. But anyway, he came down and accepted Jesus, and I was so excited. And I took him home, and the first thing he went up to his mama and said was, Mama, I'm saved! She said, from what? I want you to know something. Whenever someone gets saved, I don't care if it's completely against their background. They know their parents might have a struggle with it. Whatever's going on, they do it out of joy. If we continue in Christ's love, the joy of the Lord gives us strength to reach out and to touch other people for Jesus. And the greatest motivation that I can think of is the joy of the Lord. Now, I want to share what Jesus had to say about that in a little different context. It's found in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 38. And I want to just read this as Jesus, it must have happened. On the last day, it was the greatest day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, let me put that in context for you a little bit this morning. The Jewish people had a great feast. It was a week-long feast. They celebrated, they would take one-tenth of everything they owned, and they would take one-tenth of even the temple's income, and put it towards this week of fasting and feast and exuberance. There was so much excitement that people looked forward to it like it was the Super Bowl for the Jewish people. It was an exciting time. Children ran and screamed and said, you know, we get to go back to Jerusalem and everybody's going to be there. Tens of thousands of people are going to be there. We're going to be in tabernacles, little lean-tos, and we're all going to be together. This is going to be the greatest time. There was more joy in the streets than they had ever known. And the people were milling about. And on the last and the greatest day, they had the parade. Now, let me tell you, everybody dressed up in their finest. And whether you had a coat or a tie or not, you went and found one back then. It was robes. But you had your best robes on, and you lined the streets, and the priest would go to the wells of Siloam, and it's talked about in Isaiah and also Psalm 42. But they would go to the wells of Siloam. They would take pitchers and dip it in the wells and then walk back through the streets. The Levite band would play. People were cheering. Thousands and thousands of people were waving palm branches and throwing confetti in the air. Probably dirt. And they were all real excited, and they were just yelling and screaming, and the band was playing. And then the priest comes and dumps the water, and when the water hits the altar, then the people just let out the loudest screams you've ever heard. In all of this pageantry, Jesus stood up and he said this. Listen to what he said. If you truly want living water, come unto me. He didn't say it that way. He had to be over the top of the crowd. He had to be loud enough for everybody to see it. So when the band's playing and everybody's cheering, he's going, if you really want to know what joy is, if you really want to know what celebration is, come unto me and I will put in you water that flows more than just like the wells of Siloam, but comes from your innermost being. Jesus was saying to them that there needs to be in each one of us water that wells up within us that flows. You remember I gave a couple of Sundays ago the illustration of the woman at the well, and Jesus came up to her and said, could I have water? And she started going on and on, why would you say this to me? And he said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask and I would give you living water. She left that place, dropped her buckets, left her buckets there, which was her purpose in going, ran back to the town and in joy shouted to everybody, you must come see this man. He has told me everything I have ever done. You see, it was joy that motivated him. What joy? The joy of the Lord. And Jesus made it clear in the scriptures that we read. Jesus said, you shouldn't be all that excited about the fact. If we go back, this is back in the original scripture in Luke chapter 10. It said this. Jesus said, don't be excited about the fact that you have spiritual miracle powers. You can go up to people and put your hands on them and pray for them and they're healed. You can command demons to leave people and they do and they respond to you. Don't be all that excited about the spiritual stuff. But be excited about the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, I find more Christians that have to be pumped every week or every Sunday or every 2 weeks to be able to go out and do what they ought to be doing anyway. You ever notice that? I hope I get something in church this morning because I'm really down. Or I hope I get something in my Bible reading this week because I'm struggling. Jesus said, you know, what you need to do is realize that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and you have eternal life, and in that is joy beyond measure. And in that joy gives you strength. And in that joy gives you the measure to go out and to share with all men what God has done for you. Let me just say this. We're going to have a video right here. And it's another video on somebody who witnessed and what God did. But let me say this to each and every one of us. If God's, you know, duty is what a lot of people think is the reason we go out and witness. Or I try to witness, or I try to tell people about Jesus. Because Jesus, well, there is a duty factor there. But that's not the main reason. The main reason is because of joy. It floods our innermost being. And like rivers of living water, we just have to share it with other people. How many of you, by the way, I thought of this. Do you know that the Titanic, when it was sinking, had a ship that was probably only 5 miles away? It was a German vessel. It could have got to them in time to get everybody safely on board. But because they were German, and it wasn't World War I or II, it was before that, 1912. Because they were German, they didn't want, and they just actually told the Germans to go away. They were trying to get to the Carpathia. How many, and the Germans said, well, if they don't want us, we'll walk away. And they had said, we're sinking. How many of us, if somebody was sinking near you in a boat, and you were in a boat, you would just look at them and say, well, hey, I don't want to offend them. I might offend them. I might say the wrong things. Let them drown. How many of you, if you're walking through the desert and you had some water, and somebody was laying there and their face was all parched and their lips were parched, would you look at them and go, hup, I've got enough for me. I was smart. You're dumb. You came out here without water. You'll just have to deal with it. But that's what we do every day as we go out into the world. Every day. We have the life of God. And we say, well, they're answering for themselves. You know, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to say anything that might. We have the living water. And in joy, we go forward in Christ's name. If you'll watch this just a second.
I was saying that, you know, when we have a training, do we mention this?
Evangelism to us has almost been
I think I've told you, excuse me. I think I've told you my testimony in 1972, how I ran. I hid in the bathrooms when they were going out to witness. But that evening, when we all came together at the stadium in Cotton Bowl in Dallas, I accepted Jesus Christ, and whenever I truly stepped into his presence, I was flooded with joy that I had never felt before. I had been in the church all my life. I had done all the work of the church. I was a youth minister and everything else. But I stepped into the joy of the Lord, and when I did, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I got on that airplane, and the way, stewardesses and everybody else had to know about Jesus. I believe that the joy of the Lord is our motivation. Our struggle is not that we are inequipped or that we just don't see the witness or we're afraid to witness. I think it's the joy of the Lord is not there. The way we get the joy of the Lord is by reflecting on all that he has done for us, especially the joy of our salvation. You know, I got up this morning, and just before I left to come, I sat there thinking, I said, God, you have done so much for me. And then it just shook me. I said, but you're worthy of praise no matter what you've done for me or whether you haven't done anything for me. You are the greatest God, and oh, how great you are and how magnificent you are. And in that, the joy of the Lord floods our being. And whenever the joy of the Lord floods you, it just comes out. One of the things that this particular series on Encounter Life does, and this is, listen, they give you an app for your phone, and the app lets you list, and it actually will pull up your neighborhood with a GPS, and you can put a dot on everyone you know that you know that you know that are Christians, and how many you don't know, and then what is going to be your plan of action to reach those people for Jesus. And some people say, are you kidding me? No, that's our responsibility, our neighborhoods. Some of you know your neighborhoods, some of you don't. And some of you are at the point where you're ready to say, you know, I really do need to reach out to some people. Christ's love and his joy will open up doors of opportunity this coming week. Just let Christ lead you and let his joy pour through you. Preston, you're going to Liberty. Not everybody there is Christians, although it's a Christian college. As you go, I want to just encourage you, let God lead you, not students, other students. Let God lead you. You will have a great time at that college. Just let God lead you, as we all should be led of God. Let us pray. Father, right now, open our hearts to leadership, to producing joy and love that is expressed not just in our deep within our hearts, but pours forth from our hearts like wells of living water that just flow out to other people who are thirsty. And Lord, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for what you have done in our lives. In Jesus' name,